Giants? Well, hey, first thing is first, I am not supposed to be here teaching to you this morning. Caleb Freeman is supposed to be teaching today. Do y'all know what happened in Caleb's life recently? They had a baby. Yeah, so Caleb and Carissa welcomed Truett, their new son, Truett Zachary, into the world on Thursday. So Caleb's with his family this week. He'll be back with us probably in a week or so, but he's taking some time off. So I found that out Thursday night. And so bear with me today. We're going on a couple of days of prep in a passage I hadn't looked at a lot before Friday. And so I'm going to need some interaction from y'all as we go through this. Sound good? We're going to keep it super, super simple. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. If you got your Bible, you can go ahead and open up there. All the scripture that we'll cover will be on the screen. But 1 John chapter 5, and we're actually only going to look at about four different verses this morning from that chapter. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll rock and roll. God, thanks for this morning, and thanks for your word, which speaks truth in and of itself. Whether or not I communicate it well or anyone communicates it well, God, your word is your word. So I pray that it would pierce our hearts today and that we would learn more about you and who you are and the way that you've created us to follow you. And so we pray for baby Truett that he would grow into a man who loves you and who follows you all the days of his life. And we pray for good family time for the Freemans this first week of his life. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first thing I want to start with today is asking this question, what is freedom? If you're taking notes, write down a quick definition. I'm going to give you about 30, 45 seconds. What is freedom? If you're not taking notes, just think about it. All right, somebody tell me. Give me your definition without a lot of time to think. Just your first guess. What is freedom? Be bold. Bentonville boys, I'll call on you if no one answers. Anybody? What is freedom? What we got? Somebody right here. Having a choice. So not being kind of weighed down by you don't have any choices. Having a choice. That's good. Anybody else want to give it a shot? What is freedom? Man, real talkative this morning. Hey, let's go to the dictionary online and look at some definitions. So the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So there you go, having a choice. There's that one right there. Absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government. The state, I like this one, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. The state of not being held back, having a choice, being able to do what you want. That's usually the way we think through freedom, right? We're kind of stuck in this place and we want to be free from it. And so you might think about, in your world, like middle school. Who in here is still in middle school or junior high? You're not going to high school this year, a couple of you. You may be thinking, man, I just want to get out of middle school. These are some pictures of some of the kids who are currently in high school. And I guarantee you, they just wish, like, I just want to be free from all this middle school drama. If I can just get to high school, it'll be so much better. Like, all my friends will be there. It'll just get better. Do y'all ever think that? Like, middle school's lame. I just want to get to high school. Anybody ever think that? Yeah. Okay. So high schoolers actually do the same thing. And they think, oh man, if I could just get out of high school. These might be some of your cell leaders. Is anybody cell leader up here? Anybody? Yeah? Yep. So, and there's Mel, who's on our team this year. So we got Hunter and Max, who lead cell group. Jay leads a cell group. I think Dane leads a cell group. Blake Taylor. There's a lot up there. Catherine, y'all's leader. And I'm sure when they were at your stage, they were like, oh, if I can just get out of high school, I'll be free. Free from my parents. Free from all these rules. Free from everything that's holding me back, I can make my own decisions. Is anybody excited about that day? Just go to college and be free? Okay, good. You aren't dreaming too far ahead. We got one. So it happens there too. But the thing is, once you get to college, you have the same thoughts. Oh, I just want to be free. I just want to get out of college. These are pictures of me in college. It was a bad time in my life, guys. I grew my hair too long and wore clothes that were way too big for me. But there were times where I thought, oh, if I can just get out of college, I'll be free. You know, and then I can have a job and I'll actually have income and I can marry Alex and oh, I'll just be free from all of this stuff. If we take freedom like that, it just keeps going. Because now that I have a job, now I can say, oh, I just can't wait till retirement or till I'm out of student ministry. I don't have to be around all you guys anymore. Oh, I'll just be free from all the kids, right? I can't wait to have free time again and oh, I'll be retired. And you can always look for one more thing that just gets you free from what you're in. But here's what I want us to think about. I don't think that's freedom. I don't think freedom is just this future hope. If I can just get out of my current situation, free from the things that are holding me back, then I'll be free. I don't think that's good enough. No one really wants freedom that you never get to, right? That just kind of keeps going. And so I actually think that freedom isn't found away from something. Write this down. Freedom is actually found in something. So freedom isn't just this state of, I just want to get past this stage of my life. I just want to get out of this school so I can go to the cooler school. I just want to get, you know, out of this sport or into this sport or away from something, away from my parents, away from these friends. I don't like my friends. I want new friends. I don't think that's freedom. I think freedom has to be found in something. And we're going to talk about what that is today, but we tend to put ourselves in these circles and just say, all right, in order to be free, I got to get out, right? What scripture actually shows us is that it's a little bit different than this, that true freedom isn't found outside of something, running away from something, the things that are holding us down, but it's actually found in something. So what is freedom found in? Because that's kind of weird. We all think of freedom as being free from slavery of something. So what is it found in? This is what we're going to be talking about all morning, so write this down. Freedom is found in following God's commands. Freedom is found in following God's commands. If you're taking notes and if you have your sheet of paper where we fill it in every week, this is what you would fill in there as well as the key verse. One of the ones we're going to look at is 1 John 5, chapter 5, verse 3. And it's going to explain a little bit about what this means. Because that's kind of a weird statement. Freedom is found in something, not away from something. But we're going to look at how freedom is found in following God's commands. So let's do a little review. What are some of the main things that we've talked about in 1 John so far? Just spit them out. What are some of the things that have happened a lot in 1 John? There's one word that starts with an L that we've heard a ton. Where was that? You go, girl. Thanks for shouting it out. Yeah, love. Loving who? Let me ask you another. Loving who? Everyone. Yep. Loving others, loving God. Like, love is this central theme that we've seen throughout 1 John. So that's one of them. But of the two main things we've covered so far, do y'all know what the other one is that we've heard over and over and over? It starts with an O. Good question. Anybody want to guess? Opportunity. Great word that starts with an O. Not the right one. That's okay. Hey, thanks for giving it a shot. Another word. O-B. Obedience. There we go. Obedience. Y'all got it. Yeah. Oh, I got it. I just didn't want to say it. Obedience, obeying God's commands, is something that we've heard over and over again. And today, when we get to chapter 5, John's actually going to bring both of those back up. He brings them both back up as a review, and he said, hey, we've been talking about these all the whole time, but here they are again. So let's read this. Does somebody want to stand up and read this for us? You can read it right off the screen. Any bold readers? I'm going to keep asking y'all questions till I get something. Somebody stand up and read it. You got it. All right, Caitlin, you got it.
Everyone who believes in Jesus is the prime of God and loves God and loves the child well. And how we know that we love the children of
Thank you so much. Do y'all see those two things in there? Where are they at? You see them? Right at the end. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by two things, by loving God and carrying out his commands. And there's some cool things in there about everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. So that's at the core of what our faith is when we put our faith in Jesus. That's what makes Christianity different than any other religion. It's who Jesus is. And we put our faith in him as the Son of God. We know the Lord. We have a relationship with him. But then it says this, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and obeying and carrying out his commands. Now, at first glance, do these two things seem different? Like, those are two different things, right? Loving God and obeying God, two different things. Sometimes in life, we see things that appear to be different, but they're actually the same. Think about it. LeBron with the Lakers, okay? If you really think about it, what's different than LeBron with the Cavs? It's a superstar player with a mediocre team around him. Am I right? Like, we think, oh, it's going to be different. It's a different jersey, different city. Honestly, it's probably going to be the same thing unless something changes. Think about Amy, right? FSM staff girl Amy, you might think is very different than student FSM Amy. Bottom right. At first glance, they look totally different. It's the same girl. It's the exact same girl. Did y'all know that Amy went through FSM? That she sat in these seats all the way through? She did. One more, things that, you know, seem to be very different but are actually the same. LaCroix and Lakewater. Like, at first glance, you're like, oh, those are totally different. Then you taste them, you're like, they're the same thing. Exact same thing. So what John is doing this morning is he's taking two concepts that seem like they're different, but look what he does. He says, this is love for God. What? To keep his commands, obedience. He says, you've kind of thought they're different. You can love God and choose whether or not to obey him. But he says, no, they're the exact same. To love God is to obey God. And we can't just say, oh, I love God, I really do, but then choose not to obey him. That's not love for the Lord. So John is putting these up there, and you're probably thinking, okay, yes, obey God's commands, obey God's commands. How many times have we heard this? All summer, that's all we hear in FSM. Follow the Lord, obey his commands, over and over. And sometimes it can feel like this huge burden of how in the world do I follow all these things? How do I keep all of these commands? Has anyone ever felt that? That like, oh, there's a lot that the Lord asks us to do and tells us to do. How in the world am I supposed to do all that? I've felt that, but then I read a verse like this, the end of verse 3 here in chapter 5, and it says this, and his commands are not burdensome. Think about that for a second. All the things that the Lord asks of us, Scripture says they're not actually a burden. They can feel like a burden sometimes to us. When you look at this list, like, how does this not feel like a burden? Don't drink. No sex outside of marriage. Stay pure. Love your enemy. Pray daily. Read your Bible. Respect your parents. Don't cuss. Share the gospel. Be kind to others. Don't look at porn. Fill in the blanks. And you may look at this and go, I can't do all of that perfectly. And it feels like this burden that is really weighing us down. Now, I've felt that before, for sure. Not just at your age. I feel it now. Like, how in the world am I supposed to love my wife like Christ loves? I'm not Jesus. Like, I'm flawed. How can I do this? And sometimes it feels like if I think about him as a checklist, have I read? Have I prayed? Am I loving other people? Am I loving my enemy and not hating them? Am I forgiving people? Am I staying pure? Sometimes it's like, man, I cannot do this. It just seems way too hard. But then I think about what it actually means to follow God's commands. And so if freedom, like we said earlier, is actually found when we follow the commands of the Lord, when we walk with him, what does that do for us? It's not a burden. It actually gives us a foundation in life. I'm going to list like 5 or 6 things if you want to write these down. Scripture tells us that when we hear the words of God, Jesus says this, hear the words of God and put them into action, it's like a man who builds his house on a what? On a rock. When we hear the words of God and we do them, it's like building our foundation on the rock. When we hear the words of God and we don't do them, it's like building our house on what? Sand. The house is just going to crumble. But there's a foundation to be had when we actually follow through with what Jesus asks us to do. what the Bible says we should do. But also there's protection. God gives us certain commands, laws, whatever you want to call them, to help protect us, to keep us safe in this world. There's a reason that he asks us to do certain things or to not do certain things. And a lot of times it can be for our protection. But following God is actually where we find the most pure and authentic community that exists. You can find community anywhere, right? You can find community at school. You can find friendships at school, on your sports teams, whatever. The best community and friendships that you can find in the world are those built on people who love the Lord and follow him. They're the ones who know how to truly care for you and are actually there for you and don't just abandon you when it doesn't meet their interest. But we also get hope. When we follow God's commands, it brings hope into our life, and we can see that, yeah, as much as this world is kind of a turd sometimes and we don't like it, there's hope in people following the Lord, and we see a glimpse of what maybe eternity will look like when people walk in pure actions and overflow with the Spirit. But it's not just a hope. It's not just this hope for a future freedom. Walking with the Lord now gives us joy. And I can tell y'all that from experience, that in my own life, I've tried to live life a lot of different ways in a lot of different seasons. There's nothing more joyful than actually walking with the Lord. Nothing even close to it. And obeying God's commands brings us a lot of joy. I want you to think about it like this. Hopefully this will help drive the point home about we actually find freedom when we're walking with the Lord, not when we're trying to run away from something. So who went to Ravencrest or Timberline? Or no one in here went to Timberline. Who went to Ravencrest? Okay. So did y'all go whitewater rafting? Was it fun? Yeah. It's actually really, really fun. This is the crew of guy leaders who went to Timberline whitewater rafting. And so I want you to think about hopping in to a raft. Okay. Here's some pictures of a few of y'all when you were on the river. Now, according to the world, go with me here with this illustration. The freest thing you can do, ultimate freedom in the river, is to actually take off your helmet, take off your life jacket, look at the paddle and say, ah, don't need that, and just go for a swim, right, down the river. Is that the freest thing you can do? Free from all hindrances, right? Nothing holding you back, nothing keeping you above water, it's all on you. You just go. And honestly, the world, like, I would look at that and be like, bro, what a beast. Like, I can't do that. That's incredible. And people would pile around to watch you do it, and we would cheer you on and be like, oh my goodness, can you believe that? And it would be, according to the world, one of the most freeing things you could do in a river. Would y'all agree? No? Kind of? So I would argue that actually one of the most freeing things you can do is to put on your helmet, to put on your life jacket, to find you some sick goggles from a thrift store that do this, and to actually go down the river in a raft. Why is that more freeing? Well, think about it. It's in that raft that you can actually see things. You can actually see what's coming. There's a little bit of protection there, right? It's not perfectly safe. But you also have your buddies around you. And so when something cool does happen, you're like, oh, did you see that? That was awesome. If one of your buddies falls out, there's this raft that you can pull them back into. You may take your time, so you watch them float a little further. You're like, we're coming, I promise. But you're really not. You're just waiting on them to float. But there's community there, right? And what else do you have? Who sits in the back? A guide, right? So this was my guide at Timberline. His name's Camo John. He wore a camo shirt for a little bit. That's why we called him Camo John. Camo John was a beast. I would ride with Camo John any day because if you'll notice, we're all looking one way. Camo John's looking at something else. He knows what he's doing, and we have no idea. We're just listening to him and paddling along. And he says paddle, we paddle. He says stop, we stop, right? We're just listening to him. I would much rather have Camo John leading me down the river than me, right? It'd be kind of freeing for me to be the guide. Would any of y'all get in the boat with me? If I was like, all right, I'm going to take us down the river. Yeah, a couple of people, brave ones. I wouldn't get in the boat with me because I don't know what I'm doing. But he's been down this river hundreds of times, and he knows exactly where to go and what to do. And it's when I get in this raft with my friends and when I experience this protection that I actually enjoy the experience. I'm not guaranteed not to fall out. Like, some things could happen. But there are some people to pick me back up. I actually get to see what's coming ahead. I'm not just bobbing out of the water like trying to just catch a breath, right? Even if you take off the life jacket and go with your buddies swimming down the river, you're all just going to drag each other down. Someone else doesn't help you float. It's just two people to sink together, right? And you're just trying to catch your breath. And you may make it to the end, but you do that enough times and it'll destroy you. But there's something cool about stepping into the raft of life and actually walking with the Lord, with other believers in community. I've said it once or twice. It's not perfectly safe. When we were in this raft, Jordan Tong is the one sitting in front of me. We were sitting still, waiting on someone. We weren't even moving. And he took his paddle and just turned around like this and popped me right in the mouth. And I was like, oh, it hurt so bad. So it's not perfectly safe, but he was there to say, hey, bud, you good? You good? We're going to make it? I'm like, yes, I'm going to be fine. And there was community there. And honestly, when we got to the end of that rapid, it was so much fun. It was such an experience. Now, some people might look at me and go, oh, you look lame. I probably do this morning. You look lame. You've got a life jacket on. That's not very fun. Like, swim down the river. Have some fun. Be bold. Like, what are you doing? But true freedom and actually getting to experience what is meant to be experienced on the white water is about hopping in the raft and actually accepting the protection around you and walking through that journey with others. And it's the same for us in following the Lord. That's where we find true freedom, is actually with him. Now, I don't want you to hear that true freedom is just doing a bunch of commands, right? Life is actually found in Jesus. That's what we see in chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Whoever has the Son has life. So that's where we find life. But freedom is actually found when we take that life and we put it into motion and when we put it into action and we walk with him. Freedom is found in following God's commands. If you want to be as free as you can be in this world, do what God asks you to do. There's a reason he's asking us to do that, because it brings us freedom in ways we've never experienced. I want to bring up a young woman who has experienced this a little bit. Do we have the handheld mic? Do you have it? It's right back here. Come on up, Gabby. This is Gabby Collins. This is Gabby Collins a couple years ago. This is the old Gabby. Gabby is going to be a senior at Bentonville High School. And honestly, a year ago, I would not have asked you to come up here. And probably 6 months ago, I wouldn't have asked you to come up here. It should be on. Test it out.
Hello?
It's on. Perfect. But Gabby has experienced a little bit of life change. And so why don't you start by just telling everyone what freedom looked like for you for the last couple years of high school.
Okay, so up until...
Yes, for the recording. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Up until my junior year, I kind of just found freedom in doing whatever I wanted. I was going to parties. I was drinking. I was hanging out with the wrong group of people. I was doing things with boys that were not glorifying to God at all. I manipulated people, and I used people, and I really just did whatever I wanted to get to the top of what I felt like was the top of the social ladder. And I was able to do all that and to do all those things while still getting straight A's and still, like, being good at swim and still, like, winning. And I felt like there was a freedom in knowing that, like, I could do all those things on my own and knowing that, like, on the outside it looked like I had it all together.
Yeah. So you've had some life change over the last, I'd say, 3 to 6 months probably. How have you seen that shift in your life? How have you seen freedom in actually walking with the Lord?
Just now I have this desire inside to just, like, know God and to have a deeper relationship with who he is. There's freedom in knowing that, if you, like, think about it in terms of the raft, that knowing that, like, no matter who you are, no matter, like, what your circumstances are, that, like, if you're in the boat, there's someone to, like, guide you, and there's someone who knows so much more than you do. And knowing that, like, there's someone there and there's always going to be someone there is, like, super freeing. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to make that conscious decision, I think, to just follow God and, like, have that freedom, because with just, like, everything I did, I felt like I was like, okay, like all these people know my past and they hold it against me. So why wouldn't God do the same? And I kind of felt like burdened by that. And I was like, I don't understand how this person could love me so much, but like I have this past. And I think just the thought that like I wasn't a slave to my sin anymore, and that, yeah, like it's not easy to like walk the walk and it's not easy to do all that, but just knowing that there's a freedom in that and there's a freedom in following him, that's like really cool.
So would you say it's been weird, easy, fun, difficult?
I think it's weird. I really do.
You think what's weird? You can say it.
Not weird, like, to follow God. It's, like, super fun. But it's just, like, weird to see, like, a change in your life that, like, I don't know. It's just, like, that change in your life that's, like, wow. Often I ask myself the question, like, or, like, I did, like, there had to be something more. Like, what was I missing? And so I feel like that, I don't know, that kind of, like, drew me into a relationship with the Lord. And I was, like, that was, like, such a question that the Lord, like, put on my heart, and that I was just like really asking myself, and I was asking others, like, what am I missing? It's been super cool and super fun to like have a community that's been built on like the Lord, and like the Lord is like, I would not be friends with the people I'm friends with. I would not be plugged into FSM the way I am if it weren't for God and for Jesus. And
did you lose friends when you started following the Lord?
Oh yeah.
How was that?
For about 3 months, had to go through this like period of loneliness that it was just like me and God, and I felt like I couldn't really talk to any of my old friends, and I couldn't hang out with them because I knew that all they were gonna do is like draw me into this like sin and this temptation that like I didn't want to be a part of anymore. So there was like such loneliness, and that was like really hard because like I get like super FOMO and like don't like to be alone at all. But just like knowing that like I had security and knowing that like I was okay to be alone with Jesus because I had him. But also then like it took such a huge effort to just reach out to those people who I knew were going to draw me closer to the Lord. And knowing that like if God wanted me to be friends with them, like God would provide, and like he would provide this community that is really fun and loving.
So do you have that community?
Absolutely. Getting plugged into FSM, and just like knowing and like having a relationship with like you and Alex, and having a relationship with like, all my friends, and serving in one-to-one, and, going to Timberline, like that community is just like, it's so fun and it's so encouraging.
So one more question. There are probably quite a few people, in here who might identify more with the old Gabby than the new Gabby, and might say, yeah, I'm the one choosing freedom of my own and just doing whatever I want and trying not to listen to anyone. And what would you say to them?
That's kind of hard because, like, no matter what anyone said to me, I was going to do what I wanted. And it was something that I had to decide on my own. Like, yes, I'm going to stop doing those things. So I would just tell them that it's not worth it. It's really not. Like, you might be like, oh, I can do all these things and, like, put it off. Like, God's going to be there in 5 years. God's going to be there tomorrow when, tomorrow after I, like, wake up and after I've been to this party. Like, it'll be fine, but it's so not worth it. Like, all those things just, like, draw you out of a relationship with the Lord. And, like, it's kind of hard to, like, conceptualize that, like, you can have this relationship with, like, someone you cannot see. And that's like, that was like, I think one of the hardest parts for me was like, how can I have this like relationship and this friendship with like someone who like, I don't know, just like in like follows like all these rules, and like, I feel like I don't have that freedom, but it's like, I don't know. So I would just tell people that it's not worth it, and that like, there is something more. There's something more that like you're missing if you don't have a relationship with the Lord.
Thanks, Gabby. Can y'all give her a hand? Good job. Yeah, I've gotten to watch Gabby make hard decisions over the last 3 to 6 months, but it's so cool to watch. When you make those first decisions, they feel like a burden, but over time, you get to experience the freedom of what it's like to actually get in the raft and walk with the Lord and obey what he's asking you to do and get to experience life the way that he's intended. If you are in here and you feel like maybe a little bit of the old Gabby, not necessarily the new Gabby, and you're kind of living your own life, let me encourage you with realizing, you know, you may think, oh, people know who I really am. They're going to hold that against me or whatever. Following the Lord isn't about having never done anything wrong, okay? It's about realizing you've done everything wrong in trying to live your own life. And so if you do have baggage and you're like, I don't see how the Lord could love me, man, he absolutely can. And he takes people who are broken and makes us whole again. And so my encouragement to y'all is that we just walk together in freedom in following the Lord and living a life that glorifies him. Not because we here at FSM want to give you all these rules and we're sitting here judging you going, are you doing all these things? We're asking you to do all these things. That's not it at all. We're just inviting you to hop in the raft and actually walk with the Lord and experience the joy that he has for all of us. So let me pray for us. Lord, we love you and thank you that true freedom is found in you and not in us, because a lot of times we're not very good at life and we just don't do the right things and we struggle and we want to be better, but we're not. And so thanks that following you comes from your strength that you give us. And when we say we love you, God, it's got to be backed up with actually following you and doing what you ask of us. And so that's my prayer this morning, that all of us would take that call to hop in the raft and to say, yeah, I've called myself a Christian for a long time, but I actually want to take steps of obedience towards the Lord and what he's asking me to do. That's my prayer. Even as a pastor at this church, God, I want to follow you daily and listen to you. So, Lord, I give you this time of worship, and my prayer is that we would give you this time of worship as we look to you as our creator, as our Lord, and as our friend.